Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Blair Bathory, and this is the Something Scary podcast. Thank you so much for being here, whether this is your first time or you're one of the brave souls who join us every week. We know the Irish are renowned for their good luck, yet beneath this charm lies many a cautionary tale. Folklore like evil fairies and gatherings of torture carnivals remind us that luck can turn on a dime. Warning, enjoy your luck while you have it, because when it turns, you don't know how bad things will get. First, the new girl with killer tricks, followed by the place children disappear. Finally, in our featured story, Endless Torment in a House of Horrors. Before we get to our stories, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who's been listening on Spotify and taking our polls. We just started using that feature and we love hearing from you. Make sure you subscribe to Something Scary and sign up for notifications so you don't miss a single episode. And don't hesitate to leave us a comment and tell us what you think and what kind of stories you'd like to hear more of. So, want to hear something scary? When luck runs out. Tricks and pranks are always fun when you're in on the joke, but when you're not, you may get shaken to your core, like in this story inspired by Shadow. Mia epitomized the popular girl stereotype at school so much that it was almost comical. With her locks of blonde hair that shimmered like spun gold, cascading over her shoulders, she had her small town in the palm of her hand. Her eyes, as blue as sapphires, held an ethereal allure, and her complexion had a sun-kissed color. Yet beneath this veneer of beauty was pure vanity, her pleasant facade fading the moment teachers weren't in sight. And this is when she showed that she was actually a total mean girl. One day, a new student entered their class, freshly arrived from Ireland. Gwen had hair as dark as midnight, streaked with crimson accents, and skin that freckled and was not too pale. Gwen held herself with a quiet demeanor, always clutching a sketchbook close as she introduced herself in her rich Irish brogue. The teacher seated Gwen beside Mia, much to Mia's dismay. Mia immediately disliked the new arrival. Nothing with irritation the attention Gwen was getting from the teachers, other girls, and particularly the boys, she felt that attention was being taken away from her. In the following days, Mia led the campaign to make Gwen's life miserable. She hurled insults, plastered her locker with mean post-it notes on it, and even sabotaged Gwen's seat with a glue stick. Yet, Gwen met these efforts with a grace and resilience that only seemed to fuel Mia's fury. Gwen would laugh off the pranks, dismissing them as harmless jests. This would make everyone laugh with her and seemingly at Mia for her pathetic attempts to be cruel. On a Friday before the weekend, Mia finally confronted Gwen, her patience worn thin by Gwen's unshakable demeanor. She demanded to know why her torment was met with amusement, why Gwen didn't cower in fear or retaliate with anger like some of her previous victims had. Gwen, with a gentle smile, told her nothing she could do would shake her. Then Gwen likened her family to pranksters, often mistaken for mythical creatures called pukas. Intrigued by this revelation, Mia scoffed and said they didn't have those freakish Irish things there. So Gwen continued, spinning tales of ancient legends and folklore, detailing their mischievous nature. She said they had done things like rearrange objects and furniture in people's homes to disorient them, jumping out to scare people, even pretending to lay dead in the road, then jumping up to frighten people. But of course, even though they play pranks, they always adhered to the rules of dealing with pukas. That was very important. You don't mess with a puka's family, or else. Dismissive of Gwen's stories, Mia left for a sleepover with two of her best friends, their minds buzzing with thoughts of the mischief and mayhem told by Gwen. It left them wondering what they really meant. That night, fueled by teenage gossip, rebellion, and curiosity, they plotted to prank Gwen's family, hoping to drive them away and restore Mia's dominance in the social hierarchy. Venturing into the woods towards Gwen's home, their cruel laughter echoed through the trees as they anticipated the chaos they would wreak. Yet as they got closer, one of the girls started to get a little nervous. Then, just outside Gwen's house, they encountered a small white rabbit with beady red eyes and a diamond patch on its forehead. Startled by the unusual sight, Mia grabbed the creature, only for it to cry out in a human voice, calling for its mother. Suddenly, the bushes stirred, and three humanoid rabbits emerged, their fur bristling with fury. Realization dawned on Mia as she remembered Gwen's tales of pukas, and she was overcome with fear. Out of nowhere stepped Gwen, her features shifting to mirror those of the creatures that surrounded her. Her eyes narrowed, turning a reddish color, and it looked as though her forehead was glistening in the moonlight with diamonds. Angered by Gwen's mistreatment of her baby, she confronted the girls with a righteous fury. Frozen in terror, Mia and her friends could only watch helplessly as Gwen's family exacted vengeance upon them. As if under the control of Gwen, the vicious little rabbits poured out of the trees and began to circle them, nipping at the teens' ankles until they drew blood. One after another, they hopped up onto them, clawing them with their sharp nails, tearing at their clothes and skin, ripping chunks of flesh from their bodies. The teens were trapped, unable to escape the wrath of the pukas as their screams echoed through the night, blending with the sounds of rustling leaves and distant howls. All the while, Gwen was laughing, the most sinister of laughs. As Gwen leaned close, she told Mia she had been warned, and now she would be forever scarred by the sick games of the pukas. Have you ever been the new kid at school? Were people accepting of the things that made you unique? Or did you have to lay down the law with some bullies?
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Some people love a carnival, and some see through the color and lights to find the darkness that really exists there, like in this story inspired by Shelby. Kennedy sat in the car next to her 11-year-old sister, Alice, feeling very annoyed. Alice, however, peered excitedly out the car window as their family pulled up to the carnival just outside their home in London. It was a large setup with the words Tir na n Og Traveling Carnival emblazoned in colorful letters on the sign above the entrance. This was the last place Kennedy wanted to be, but her family wanted to spend some quality time together before she went back to university. They all piled out of the car and strolled up to the fairgrounds, Kennedy lagging behind. Passing through the entrance, she gazed disinterestedly around her. The scene seemed more like a Renaissance fair, with stalls and booths lining the path. The sweet, uplifting melodies of harps and whistles filled the air, and the breeze was heavily laden with the scent of cinnamon. Carnival employees were laughing and flitting about with happy smiles among the visitors. Her parents and little Alice were wide-eyed with awe at the exquisite scenery around them. But for some reason, Kennedy was beginning to feel that something was very weird about this place. The hairs on the back of her neck stood on end, and a sensation like ants crawling on her flesh made her arms itch uncomfortably. As she looked around, she noticed the bizarre appearances of the workers, some achily beautiful, some hideously grotesque. One man had horns like a goat on top of his head. A pale, fair-haired lady had butterfly wings that shimmered like rainbows in the light. And one hulking, muscled man with green skin and huge feet, hands as thick as mallets and sharp tusks protruding from the maw of his ugly face. It was like they had crossed over from Earth into a fairy tale of some sort. Kennedy nudged her father and asked him if he also thought all the costumes were strange looking. He asked her what she meant, as they were all just wearing regular clothes like they were. Kennedy's eyes went wide. She knew she wasn't seeing things. It was plain as day that the people around her were not normal, and yet she seemed to be the only one who noticed. She also noticed that the freakish carnival workers would stare at her a little too long, their glares pointed and knowing, as if they knew that she knew a secret she shouldn't. Finally, they came upon an attraction called the House of Mirrors, like an old-time funhouse. Outside of the entrance stood a long line of children.
All children ranging from newborns to age 11 come along inside of a truly magical experience, called the melodic voice of a tall, beautiful red-haired woman with pointed ears. Kennedy watched as Alice broke away from their parents to join the other kids, every instinct in her body screaming at her to stop Alice, but she didn't. The children all went in single file, some of them even holding babies, presumably their younger siblings in their arms. One by one, they, Alice included, disappeared into the funhouse. 20 minutes had gone by, but there was no sign of the children. The sense of fear that Kennedy had been feeling ever since they had arrived shot up. None of the children had come out. She ran up to the red-haired attendant stationed outside the funhouse entrance. "Where are they?" she asked, her voice urgent. The attendant flashed a smile that seemed beautiful and dangerous at the same time, and she said,
"What children, my dear?"
"There are no children here today."
Kennedy's blood ran cold. The attendant's green eyes glowed the amber hue of candle flames as she glared coldly at Kennedy. For a brief moment, Kennedy thought she could make out a small glint of sharp fangs beneath full, rosy lips that were no longer smiling. Kennedy's parents came up and grabbed her arm. They apologized for her to the redheaded woman, saying she had been quite cranky all day. The attendant's amicable smile returned.
As her parents dragged her away, she began to cry.
What about Alice?
Who? Her mother asked.
What do you mean, who? My sister.
Kennedy cried incredulously, not understanding what was happening.
Darlene, you don't have a sister. What's with you today?
Her mother cooed, placing her hand on her daughter's now chilled cheek. Kennedy shook her head in disbelief as her parents pulled her away from the attendant, whose grin now bordered on smug. As her parents dragged her through the crowd, she saw that it was indeed devoid of small children where it had not been before, and no one seemed to notice or even care about their absence. When they got home, Kennedy tried to convince her parents of Alice's existence, but to no avail. Even photos of Alice had mysteriously disappeared from their home as if by magic. Over the next several days, she discovered that everyone else who knew Alice had also forgotten her. All, that is, except their older cousin, Emma. When Kennedy told Emma about what happened, the older girl didn't look shocked at all. She asked if the place was called the Ternanog, traveling carnival. Kennedy was stunned, but Emma's lip wavered as she held back tears. Then she told Kennedy that 10 years ago, they had taken her little brother, David. Kennedy pointed out she didn't have a brother, but Emma said she did once. Before that carnival, before those horned creatures took him, Emma managed to compose herself and explain that in her research, she learned the carnival, the Ternanog, traveling carnival, is run by the Fae, fairies that travel from place to place luring people into their carnival. Once inside, they steal the children and make their families and friends forget about them. But you and I didn't forget, Kennedy noted. Emma said it was because they had the sight, the gift of seeing through the enchantments of fairies. They see their true forms. The gift runs through their family bloodline. They're immune to their glamour, which is why they didn't forget. It's why they might be in danger someday, as they don't like to be found out. Kennedy took a huge gulp of air. She wanted to know where the kids were taken. Emma sighed and said they had to go to their world, the Fairyland, or Ternanog, as it's sometimes called. As to why they take them, tales vary. Some say they take them to raise them as their own. Others say they want them as servants or pets or even as future brides and grooms. When Kennedy asked Emma how to get back Alice and David, she couldn't answer. Emma had searched for ways to bring home David for so many years, only for all of her efforts to end in failure. But Kennedy was not going to give up, not if there was still hope. The Fae had dared to take her little sister from her, and one way or another, she was going to get her back. Are you someone who loves carnivals and amusement parks? If you don't, why not? Do you believe in fairies? And have you ever had a paranormal experience with one? If so, tell us your story by sending us an email at somethingscary@snarl.com. When you get struck with bad luck, it might feel as though you can never be saved. Like in this true urban legend, All the Way from Ireland, written by Sarah. Bridget Murphy's life took a tumultuous turn after the passing of her husband, leaving her a widow with 6 children ranging from 5 to 23 years old. Their home was a quaint cottage nestled on a mountain farm in the townland of Cornu Rushla, not far from Brookborough, in what is now Northern Ireland. Initially, life had seemed ordinary, but soon it felt as though a cruel shadow settled over them, casting a string of bad luck that they could not escape. It began one spring night in 1913. Bridget lay in bed, cocooned within the warmth of her quilt. A sudden chill came over her, as if an icy finger had traced a path down her spine. She stirred, feeling a tug at the quilt, as though her husband had playfully pulled it to his side of the bed. But moments later, her heart plummeted as she remembered the harsh truth that her husband had passed away months ago. Adrenaline pumping through her veins, she frantically searched the darkness of the room for any sign of her children. Only one lay sleeping peacefully beside her. The others must have still been in their own beds. Dread gnawed at her insides, each breath heavy with fear. Suddenly, the room seemed to come alive with gusts of wind and an energy that she could feel deep in her gut. The curtains began to swing back and forth. though the window was closed. The curtains cast a creepy shadow across the walls as if something was dancing, moving, and tormenting her. The gust of wind rattled the window panes with such a force, she felt like she was under attack. The quilt now felt like a suffocating weight as she pressed violently down upon her. Then suddenly it was yanked from her bed. Fear turned to terror as unseen hands seemed to poke at her. This was not the restless spirit of her husband. This was something else. Something evil. She dared not close her eyes for fear of what lurked in the darkness. Each creak of the floorboards, each rustle of the curtains sent shivers coursing through her veins. She cried for mercy, and in the morning, it all seemed like a terrible nightmare. But that wasn't the end of it. The entire family started having these kind of encounters, hearing strange noises echoing throughout the house, knocking on the bedposts, scraping the ceiling, and footsteps in the loft above the youngest girl's bed became regular occurrences. Bedsheets were lifted from the bed as if by invisible hands. What really frightened them was that their faithful dog also seemed terrified, as though he could see something they couldn't. He would bark at what seemed like nothing. Even more terrifying, when he would run or cower from nothing, one night he was mysteriously driven out from beneath the bed, despite no one appearing to be there. The Murphy family was consumed by fear as these inexplicable events unfolded night after night. Desperate to resolve whatever plagued them, they reached out to their local priest, who conducted a mass for the family in their kitchen. Strangely, the disturbances seemed to cease within the confines of that room. The little ones, afraid to go back to their separate bedrooms, prompted the whole family to relocate into the kitchen. Bridget had them all gather their bedding, and they laid it out across the floor, the young ones sleeping on top of the table. Despite the temporary relief from the movement of possible entities, the terror persisted. Not knowing what to do, they sought more guidance, and the priest put out the word to his community. Several other priests, local politicians, and curious onlookers gathered each night in an attempt to witness the disturbances firsthand. As the disturbances continued, Bridget became more furious. She felt as though onlookers were watching her family be torched, but no one would step in to do anything about it. She even looked into moving, but the cost for her whole family to relocate and the emotional toll of doing so without their father would just be too much. In the middle of the night, on the verge of a nervous breakdown, Bridget ran out of the house like a screaming banshee. She was in tears, persecuting the crowd for not taking them seriously. A few of the clergy were frightened and decided they needed to step up. Whatever was in that house wasn't just pulling at the bedsheets and making noise. It was clearly seeping into the souls of the family, and Bridget seemed she was beginning to lose control. It was concluded, after much observation by the clergy, that a poltergeist had taken residency in the Murphy household. Plans were made for an exorcism to rid the home of the malevolent spirit. However, disagreements arose between the bishop and the dean of the diocese, each asserting their jurisdiction over the house. Each one wanted the notary of being the one to perform an exorcism at the house and get rid of the poltergeist the town had dubbed the Cunean Ghost. Their inability to reach an agreement left the Murphy family in a state of limbo, trapped in a nightmarish existence with no end in sight. Their once kind, caring neighbors began rumors that spread like wildfire, accusing the Murphys of dabbling in witchcraft and other demonic practices. There could be no other reason the evil was still occupying that house. Neighbors turned their backs on the family, shunning them and casting them out from their community. Ostracized and isolated, the Murphy family found themselves alone in their battle. Despite their efforts to endure the torment, the weight of their ordeal became too much to bear. It's unclear when exactly the Murphy family departed from their home, but in 1916, the farm had changed hands and the Murphys had vanished. No one knew their whereabouts, but speculation swirled, with some believing they had fled to America in search of refuge from the restless torment that had consumed their lives. But according to the legend, the Cunean ghost didn't go with them. It stayed as a keeper of the house, there to torment whoever next set foot inside. Have you ever witnessed something supernatural and terrifying, but no one else was able to help you? Did they even believe your experience?
This week's podcast stories were edited by Sarah Lukasiewicz, narration by Blair Bathory, audio edited and mixed by Calvin Linderman, additional audio editing by Fitz Harris, produced by Anna Villalobos, executive produced by Gail Gilman, music by Sapphire Sandalo and Calvin Linderman. If you have a story you'd like to submit, send me an email at somethingscary@snarled.com. Don't forget to watch the video version of Something Scary over at youtube.com/snarled. And if you'd like to support the show and everything we do at Snarled, join our Patreon at patreon.com/snarled. Until next time, my spooky friends, sweet screams.
'Angie' has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is 'Angie' that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. 'Angie' has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the 'Angie' app, answer a few questions, and 'Angie' can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you 'Angie' that. Download the free 'Angie' mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.